take our Bibles and open up to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6.
Simpson, would you read for us this morning? You have to come over here, though. Stand up here and read.
The whole chapter.
15 verses. You can do it, brother.
Oh, okay.
Project your voice.
In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man of full faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicolaus from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid the hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a number of priests became obedient to the faith. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from the members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called. Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia. These men began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up against his wisdom or the spirit by whom he spoke. Then they secretly persuaded some men to say, "We have heard Stephen speak words of blasphemy against Moses and against God." So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified, "This fellow never stopped speaking against this holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the custom Moses handed down to us." All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel.
Now, what does this have to do with being a servant?
Why do you think I chose this passage? Seven deacons. What was to be their job? What responsibility was given to them?
To serve.
Food distribution.
That seems to me to be a very natural thing. I mean, that's like cooking in the kitchen, right? Or waiting on tables. And yet God seems to want to teach us something here. What were the qualifications that were laid down, so to speak? In choosing these 7 men, what were they to look for? What does it say?
They have to be full of the Holy Spirit and have wisdom.
Right.
Greek speaking.
Okay, they were full of the Holy Spirit. They had to be full of wisdom. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I noticed too was it said, pick someone from among you. Yeah, they didn't bring in someone from the outside. Let's get an expert who can do this. Let's hire someone, you know, a food distribution consultant. Now find some men from right among you, in your ranks, who can do this. Who can fulfill this service. Take the burden off of us as apostles. And it's just it's something so important to see that, you know, God doesn't necessarily place, sometimes we have the idea certain services or certain ministries are more important than others. And if you read this, you might think that that's what the apostles were saying, right? If you read, you know, we can't serve tables because we have to minister in prayer and the word.
You see that? Mm-hmm. But I think this story of Stephen shows us something else. Because here Stephen was chosen to be one of those seven deacons. And I believe he was faithful. Let's see what it says about Stephen. Verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power. Now, what had taken place when these seven men were chosen? What had taken place before they began, so to speak, to serve? What had taken place? The apostles got them together. These seven. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I need another man. Seven. And they stood before the apostles, and they placed their hands on them, and they prayed for them. And to me, that shows us that really no service, no matter how we want to say, well, it's not really that spiritual, it's just in God's sight, it was very important. They were serving God's people. You are serving God's people. We're cooking for God's people. Washing pots, dishes, sweeping. We're doing it for God's people. Oh, they might not be, you know, you're not preaching a sermon to the village, but you are. You can. But if you went around the dining room every morning and just prayed over every chair, bless Father the boy that sits in this chair. Could we do that? Maybe you've done that. Yeah. I know we've been praying for those that we serve. But it was important in God's sight. Because you see the results. I'm backtracking a little bit. But I don't want you to miss that. Verse 7, the word of God spread. When they did this, when they were obedient to do as God directed, the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. And I like this. And a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. God was moving. But this man, Stephen, you think he was faithful in what he did? You think he faithfully served? You see, but God had other plans for Stephen. And for all of these deacons. But Stephen here, his story is told to us here. God had other plans. Because he didn't just leave him there in that, so to speak, in the kitchen. Or serving, or in the food distribution. God moved him out into maybe, you might want to say, a greater ministry. You know, if we're faithful where God places us, then God is able to somewhat enlarge us and give us maybe a greater ministry. I think Mom might have talked about that. You know, we start maybe as we're working in the kitchen or we're a junior counselor, then when we're a counselor, maybe God will send you forth into his harvest field as a mission. We're believing that way for you young people. We've had prayer that way. God needs laborers in his harvest field. And here is a place where we can learn to serve him in the Holy Spirit. We don't want to make the distinction between one type of service and another, because it's all unto who? It's all unto the Lord. Ye serve the Lord Christ. And he gives us just what we need for that task. And here, God moves Stephen out. And he becomes a man that's full of grace and power. And he does signs and wonders among the people. And as we see throughout the book of Acts, when God moved, there was always that opposition of the enemy. Isn't that so? When God moves, the enemy opposes. And so they oppose Stephen. But look at verse 10 and the verse 9. These men began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up against his wisdom or the spirit by whom he spoke. And when God fills us with his Spirit,
there will be that power. It wasn't his words. It wasn't his thoughts, so to speak. But God had come to him. God was using him to speak. And so what did they do? They stirred up trouble for him. And they seized him and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses. This fellow never stopped speaking against this holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us. Now maybe you want to go on and read his story and the message that he brought to that Sanhedrin. But just let's close with this thought here in verse 15. All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. I think that means that there was a glow about him. Do you glow? It wasn't something that he put on. It wasn't something that he could produce. But the Spirit of God upon him caused his face to shine, shining forth that presence of Christ within. And so I just thought how fitting for us here at camp as we serve him, maybe in what we might think is maybe not a great thing. Although, as I said, I believe in God's sight, there's nothing that's really little or small if we do it for him and in his name. But what will God do with your life? If you are faithful, if we are faithful to serve him where he places us and serve him in the power that he gives, Lord, fill me with your Spirit that I might serve you, so that out of my inmost being would flow those rivers of living water. We sang that song, Channels Only. You know, God fills us with his Spirit so that we might know him better, but also that we might be able to share that and communicate that to others. And Stephen's life became a great blessing. It wasn't just about Stephen. It wasn't, you know, God didn't fill him for Stephen, but he filled him so that Stephen could be a blessing to someone else and point others to Christ and speak boldly in the name of Jesus. And so again, I just challenge you. I speak to myself. Lord, what will you do? What will you do with my life as I yield myself to you, as I faithfully serve where you have placed me? Lord, what plan do you have to fulfill? Now, how many know how Stephen's life ended? What happened to Stephen, Ken? Yeah, they didn't like what he said. The message that he brought, it cut them to the heart. And they stoned him to death. We sang that yesterday in that song. The Son of God goes forth to war. Joel, did you see that in that song? It talks about Stephen. That second verse, the martyr. Was his life wasted? What do you think? That's all we have of his life. Just this short account. But it seems to indicate that Saul, that man who was there and witnessed that death, something took place. that made an impression upon him. And so, beloved, what will God do with us? What blessing will God make your life and my life? Let's be men and women who are full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom. You believe God has that for us? I believe in these days God lays his hand upon us and he wants to fill us with that power from on high. And so look for opportunities to serve, not only here at camp, but when we go back home. Are there opportunities in your church to serve? Have you ever considered that? Instead of always being served, I go to church so that I can be blessed. Yes, that's right, but go and be a blessing. What would you have me do, dear Lord? How can I serve? How can I help carry that gospel message to others? At the bottom of this page, we have that thought, fitted for service, I would ever be. That word fitted, it has the idea of equipped or prepared. Sometimes there's a preparation that needs to be affected in us to enable us to serve. Are we allowing God to fit us for service? Give me a heart like thine, emptied of self, from every sin set free, filled with thy power divine. And it just was a blessing to me, an encouragement to me to see again this morning how God is so desirous to come to us. So desirous to make us what he would have us to be. To enable us to serve him in the power that he gives, in the power of the Holy Spirit. To live this Christian life, not in our own strength, but in the strength of the one that lives within. And so let's sing that song together. It's on the back of our books. Fitted for service, I would ever be. Give me a heart like thine. Stand as we sing.
Fitted for service, I would ever be ready to follow. Service, Christ ambassador, if he crucified, bringing unto him souls for whom he died. Fitted for service I would ever be. Give me a heart like thine, emptied of self from every sin set free. Set free, filled with thy power divine.
We thank you, Lord, that you are at work to accomplish this. Oh, Lord, we want to be fitted for the service unto which you've called us. And you are equipping us. Thank you, Lord. Work on today that your name may be glorified in our lives, that we might be the blessing that you have intended we be to one another and to our guests. Oh, God, satisfy your heart with us by making us all that we ought to be. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.